go ahead.
So I heard that Paul wrote that to the church, that women are supposed to wear head coverings, because it was to, like, bring unity for the church, because it was, like, some kind of law during that time, so then that people wouldn't lust after them. But then people were like, oh, that was just for the church then. And then it...
What's 1 Corinthians 11? Okay, yeah. 1, verse 2.
Can I take a picture of that?
Yeah.
It's so rare to see anybody bring a Bible. I know we got phones and stuff, so it's awesome when people have their apps on their phone, but yeah.
Yeah.
So 1 Corinthians 11, 1. No, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1.
Oh, we'll
verse 2. Yeah. I said it wrong. We've been out here a long time. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. I'll let you read that.
To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But what did that say? Every place.
Every place.
It's you and I.
The homosexual, the
we're every place, right? It said in Corinth and every place. See, God's word is awesome. God's got an answer for everything.
Yeah.
So that's for us today.
All those.
And let me, even on the side of that, if we go through the scriptures on there, does it say anything about a tradition? Does it say anything about what you were saying? That's a man creating those doctrines. It's not scripture.
Started having revivals
and all kinds of added to the scriptures. Deuteronomy, Revelation, do you know what it says about adding and taking away from the scriptures?
Tongues,
it's not a good thing. God warns us in Deuteronomy and Revelation, don't add to or take away from the scriptures. And somebody just taught you what is not in the scripture, right? So what we want to do is Matthew 4:4, live by every word out of the mouth of God. So go ahead on whatever it was you want to ask. Or maybe most
yeah, it was basically just about the head coverings, because like, because all I heard from people is that like, oh, it's just for women to wear when they pray.
And it's cultural. Like, you know what? We have an article, and we've taken a lot of time to go in there and review all those so-called arguments against it in the scriptures. And it's a very deep, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If you have any troubles, email me. I'll send it to you, because we have so much on there. We've been adding to it through the years. So if you click on the label, we have a website, and then we have a teaching blog that we started the teaching blog first, and then it migrated as we got into more ministry into the website. So it'll take you to a blog. And if you click on, I think, head covers, you're going to see a whole bunch of articles on different things on there. But there's one main one in there. If you have a hard time opening it, I'll send on it. But it is a cloth veil of some sort, and it covers almost all the hair. And we can talk about this. Do you know why?
If you sing and pray with them, you're united.
Pull your Bible up. You're smiling. I love that.
Yeah,
my
no,
sisters are going to love this, because I'm not telling them all about you. They're going to love it. Yeah.
First Corinthians again?
Yep, First Corinthians 11.
Okay.
Yep. And so I can't even see, because I got to take my glasses off to read. I have. Yeah. Oh. My eyes are troublesome. Yeah. So anyway, in there, where were we going? Go to the part where it says about man being the glory of Jesus. I'm not sure what exact verse that is. Because it starts out with God.
For a man ought not to have his head veiled, since he is the image and reflection of God. But a woman is the reflection of man.
Right. So what we see is man. What translation is this?
It doesn't sound like the New Revised Standard Version.
So, you know what? I'm not really good with all of them, but we use the King James. But let me put a different word in there. Here, let me pull this up. All right, so 1 Corinthians 11. I'm holding a phone and trying to get my other one going here.
Okay.
So hold on here.
Okay, no problem.
All right, let me see if I can see this. So let's see.
Ephesus, house. The house is fine. The house is fine. So what I would encourage you to do is.
Yep, verse 7 here. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. I wanted to read that out loud. Thanks for bearing with me, because I'm having a hard time out here.
No, it's good.
Yeah. So, man is the glory of God. We just read that, right?
Yeah.
And so, he's not supposed to cover his head. So, it's God, Christ, man, woman. So, man is the glory of God, right? Woman is the glory of man, right?
So the man's to be uncovered because he's the glory of God. Now, should man reveal his glory to God, or should he cover his glory and be submitted to God? Yeah. A woman is to be covered because she is the glory of man. So it's God, Christ, man, woman, equal in the eyes of God, but that's the authority level.
Yeah.
And so Christ has man uncover and lift his hands in prayer. And a woman is to cover her head and her glory, which is, later on we see, I think it's verse, what, maybe 15 or 16?
Here's the beautiful thing. Unlike
yep, 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a cover. So you and I, we're the glory of man. So when you get married, you're going to be like his glory, if you want to say it that way, because the Bible does. Your hair, it says in there, is like your glory. So you're going to cover your hair, and he's going to have his wife covered before the Lord, and he's uncovered because he's the authority, he's the head. And if we look in Ephesians 5, and it talks about the male, the husband and wife area in the 5:23-ish area in there, it talks about how the woman submits to the man. And the man, go to Ephesians 5. Yeah, go to Ephesians 5. Let's go there.
And ladies, don't hate me, please. I love you.
Like in the 23, look around in there.
Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church.
Right there. So Christ is the head of the church. Man represents his household like Christ is the head of the church. So he's the head like Christ is the head. I'm not the head. You're not the head. He is. So he's going to be uncovered as like a glory of Christ, right? And we're going to be covered because we're his glory. Oops, sorry. You want to read the sign? Would you like a gospel card, sir? You can feel free to listen in while he's preaching and teaching with these people. If you like. I could help him, but he's already here, so. I forgot what we were talking about, but I think we covered it. We're talking about the glory. So do you understand that? It's kind of hard to do that out here on the streets and not knowing what all you know. So a woman is to cover her hair. It's her glory. So would you want to run around showing your glory to other people? No. You're shaking your head. No.
Wait, because I was supposed to cover it, right?
So right. So isn't God everywhere?
God is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and go look at the part where it talks about for the angels.
You know what? I'm not against the church.
So I'm building a brief, quick case out here on the street trying to help you give you some things to see and think about.
What's it talking about, angels?
Toward the middle of it. It would be after, maybe just skim through there. It would be before verse 16. Oh, you're a little too far.
Oh, before 16.
Yeah, go back in here, maybe.
What did you say, angels?
Yeah, it's, I don't know what translation you have here. Let me see, I'll pull mine up. Let me look here. It says,
never mind.
Verse 10.
Yep.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. So are we just going to slap something on our head when we come into the body of Christ, run around showing off our glory, which should be for our husband because we're his glory, right? We should cover it all up. Like he was just talking about the tunic and the dress and the robes and things. That's what God gave us to cover us up. So, and God gave us extra, a head covering, and that's for us and him in Christ. I was just looking over there to see if there's anything going on. Just watching and making sure. No, it's all good. It's all good. He's got it. So what did we go over? We went over, if you look in the beginning part of 1 Corinthians 11, and you look under the Greek word for covering, I think it's parabolion. Look that up and test me to it. That is an actual piece of cloth or a veil to cover holy, to hide. So we're covering something and we're hiding something. And we found out later what that is. It's our head and our hair as our glory. Later on, you're probably wondering about this. It says her hair was given her as a covering. That's a different word. And right around that context, it says,
doesn't even nature teach you?
So look at this. Look at a man. Look at a woman. Generally, men don't normally grow long hair, and it's just
I mean, we know it. It's inside us. We know a man with long flowing hair is wrong in the scriptures say it. And a woman normally has longer hair and it grows more, right? These are out today. And so he's saying, doesn't nature even teach you? We see that through the scriptures. Nature can teach us the concepts of God, right? And so he's saying, look at her hair. It should be covered. Look at him. He's uncovered. Look at him. He's got nothing on his head. And most men have short hair. They're pretty much like they have nothing on their head, right? And so the covering words are both different words. So if you look into that, kind of hard to explain.
So they just converted them both to, they translated them both to covering even though they weren't supposed to? Like they weren't.
Oh, no, no. It's right. Because what he's saying is a woman ought to cover her head, cover it, veil it, to wholly hide it, put a veil on it to cover it and hide it. And then later on, he says her hair is given to her as a covering. That's a different Greek word. It's like something to throw around. It's an example. So we're to cover ourselves. So her hair kind of covers her like we're to cover ourselves. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it makes more sense.
It can get kind of complicated, and it's really hard to do that out here on the street.
Yeah,
everybody's talking. You're like, okay.
And I'll definitely like look on the website for that.
Yeah. And then also, since the only reason I want the sisters to know, the only reason we're digging into this is because we talked to you and your family for quite a while before, and then again, and then again, and then again, right? And you seem like a seeker. You seem like you have some biblical truth, some knowledge, some seeking. You don't seem very flippant. You're not mocking or anything. So I'm taking the time to go through that with you because we would never want to teach something like that to somebody who isn't born from above. Because what good does it do to, like, try to work? You know, you can't work your way to heaven. You put a head covering on and a dress, but if your heart is not regenerated, what good does that do? Nothing. So you're claiming to be a born-again saint, a daughter of the Most High, and the way you're listening and the questions you've been asking all day seem like you're really seeking truth. So I would encourage you, dig into the head covering, dig into biblical dress, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 3, look in the Greek and Hebrew words. Look at modest apparel. Go look in the Greek and see what that says. Neat and orderly robes or dresses. And if you also look in those passages, unadorned, not patterned, not flashy. They're going to cover your form, not tight, where, you know, your husband or future husband's going to have everybody else looking at your form. Is that right?
To do that?
No. No. Should some other man see your shape?
No.
No. So we should cover it up so it should be loose, unadorned. You know why? Look at me. Is there anything to notice on me other than I look different than the world? My wife is a other than
long,
can you see anything?
Oh, no.
You can't. If the wind blows, you're going to see something. That's going to happen with anybody. You know, so you just do the best you can. So it's supposed to be simple. And I noticed you untucked your shirt. Did you have it tucked in before?
The side was tucked. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of noticed and I thought, I hope you're convicted. I hope maybe something, I don't know, maybe it wasn't, but I just happened to know you're smiling and nodding.
No,
so.
Yeah, like it's been like a timely thing where I'm just like, oh, it's hot. Like, let me just wear like a tank top. And then I'm like, I feel like that's not modest. So then I'll just, that'll be a little more modest, like, each time. And, like, I just feel like more and more, like, God's, like, revealing, like, you need to be modest. Like,
that's awesome. So yeah. I'm giving you some truth on that. Go dig in that. And you don't seem like you have any kind of feminist nature about you. Maybe there's some in there. We all have some. But you did not usurp the authority of him while he was teaching. You politely asked questions. And you stood back and let other people talk and you listen. And you weren't, like, trying to run the show like a feminist woman. So that's awesome. You have, like, and even if you do have some traits in you, we all have to kill things like that, wanting to take care of things, especially if you get a husband that maybe doesn't quite do things. And maybe you want him to, you want to step in there and kind of take charge. You don't want to do that.
That just got brought up, like, we're talking with one of, like, the biblical couples that we know. And, like, they brought up how in Genesis it says that, like, woman is going to want to control man, but she won't be able to.
Exactly.
Like, it's, like,
rule
like convicted
her.
Of, like, the thing, like, my criticism. Like,
that's awesome. So go with it, because you heard him talk about how God can take that light away from you. So if you're looking at head covering, you're looking at dress, and you're going, I don't know, because you know what it'll do?
Every day when I get up, I'm not my plain old dress.
she might either be convicted and drawn to it. I'm not judging her. I don't know.
No,
I'm just saying. Because, you know, you see in God's words, he comes to bring a sword, right? So it might be one of those, oh, okay. I don't really want to be seen by you much. You know, she might not say it. She might separate mom and dad. All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, yeah, we love it that you're a godly, holy young woman. Until you start being drastic about it, it could cause a great division if they don't want to serve God fully. Romans 16:17. Want to look it up?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. Energized to look up in the Word. Hey, sisters, listen to this. This is like a ruby. I love it. Praise God. Romans 16:17. This is a painful verse for people who love people who are not serving God.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teaching that you have learned. Avoid them.
What does that mean?
You know, people are teaching anything up, like, that's not the truth, stay away from the truth. I mean, stay away from the lie, sorry. Like, I mean, well, also, I guess they would want to stay away from the truth, and if they're, like, you know, if they're in the darkness.
You're right. So let's just use your family as an example, and I know I met them all, or mostly, I don't know if you have any more family members or not, but he witnessed to your dad, your mom heard a lot of truths, your brothers and sisters, or brother and sisters heard the truth. So let's use them as an example, and we went through all this too. So say you start seeing things in the scriptures, and you're sharing it with them. Yeah, yeah, okay, that's good, thank you, yeah, whatever. And they continue to live in sin. And you're stripping your life down, and you're bringing, you're beginning to be holy. So you don't want to, you can't be correcting or standing against anybody until you got your life in order, right? You agree with that? Yeah. So what you would have to do is search the scriptures and get your life in order. And then you could share some truths with them. They're all claiming Christ. Are your family's all claiming to be of Christ?
Oh, yes.
I know your dad said he thought he was born again, or he raised his hand. It's not thought. I want to be careful how I say that. He didn't say, I think I am. He raised his hand.
Yeah.
And so, say they say it, but they don't want to conform their life to it, but you do. What must you do according to that scripture?
Keep at it. Don't lose this truth. Like, choose the truth instead.
Right, you have to separate from them.
I love women. I'm married to a woman. I love women.
You have to physically separate. You try to get them to show the truth, but we have no union. Wow. I'm glad you see through this. This is wickedness, and it's going to even get worse. What does light have to do with darkness?
It's opposite.
Right? So even if somebody claims to be a Christ, what do we judge? Their fruit or their words? Their fruit. Right. So if they claim the name and they have bad fruit and they're living in sin and they're not conforming to the ways of the doctrines that are in the scriptures that you're reading, you must separate from them. Do you know why we do that?
Bad morals corrupt good company. Yeah, that is corrupt good company.
Yep. Bad morals will corrupt the good company, or whatever it was you said. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's been a long day.
I know, my God. I said that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's for the glory of God, because what we're going to do, number one, is stand for His truth. So if you see it in the scriptures and your family doesn't, you got to stand for the truth. Don't stand for man. Stand for God. Say, I'm standing on the Word. I'm going to be obedient, even if nobody else does. Oftentimes, it just kind of makes people get away from it. But there will come a time that you may have to biblically separate and say, you know, I've tried to show you the truth, but you won't repent of your sins. I can't have any part of it. What do you think that will do to people that are close to you? If you say, all right, I can't have anything to do with you now. I love you. But you're claiming my Savior's name, who died and shed His blood for you, and you're trampling His blood by living in sin. What do you think that would do to them if you separated and said, I'm going to go follow Christ and holiness and obedience. If you ever repent, I'm here for you.
I feel like really sad, really mad, and also like curious as to like, why would I?
Right. So it should be conviction to them. Hey, why did we lose our daughter or sister or friend, whatever you are to the person you're leaving? I miss them. I thought I loved Christ too. What is she saying? Why is she doing that? Those who have a heart for the truth, they'll go seeking after the truth. Those who don't, you know what they'll do? They'll do like what our family did. Out of here. I want nothing to do with you. Even though they're claiming Christ. So it's